in Randolph County and from us around, everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ransparta means WHCO.
Car folks on the go, it's 1-2-3-0.
It's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on WHCO. Randolph County Radio.
From Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning, it is 9:27. I'm Jeff. And this is The People Speak. Starting to get my voice back a little bits at a time, so we'll hang in there. But we're going to be talking today with Congressman Mike Bost. Congressman, how are you doing this morning?
I'm wonderful, Jeff.
It's
fantastic.
As I said, the voice just now coming back, so it's like we're... I mean, we've got a lot.
I lived through that. I know how it
is. But I know we've got a lot to talk about, a lot of things going on, and
sure.
I guess where do we want to start at?
Yeah, you know, I mean, right now with people trying to deal with all the issues that are going on, I know that, you know, everybody's being affected by the inflation rate. Our inflation rate came back in. The inflation rate we're seeing right now is 7.5%, and it's the highest inflation rate since 1982. And 2021 was the worst inflation since 1981. The average household monthly spending is up $276 per month because of inflation. Not up because they're buying more things, up because everything's costing more. And you know, I was talking to a realtor yesterday a business owner down in, of all places, Polk County. And he said that he has a hardware store there. And he says, I know they say the inflation rate's 7.5%, but depending on what the product is, he said, for instance, he said, I got PCB pipes that my customers come in and have to get. He said, that's up 300%.
Mm.
So when you start looking around at all the different things and the cost going up, and all of this, is really ties back to the fact that poor handling of one is that final COVID bill that was put out there by this president, which went strictly on a partisan roll call to increase the amount of spending, and most of it didn't go to COVID but went into the economy, which causes the fact that once you push too many dollars chasing too few products, you drive the inflation up. But it was like he hadn't been around for the first four bills, so he wanted to do something when he came in, so he spent a pile of money that we really didn't have, piled it in, drive the inflation rate up, and then to add to that, you change the policy on our fuel and everything like that, and where you stop the Keystone Pipeline, you stop drilling in MR, you stop drilling in Alaska, you stop drilling on offshore, And you basically become dependent on Russian oil and OPEC again, and this is what we're getting. And now with this whatever's happening here in Ukraine, you put that together, you're going to see unbelievable. Most of us will have never seen gas prices like we're going to see if we don't get something done.
Yeah, I mean, we're here in Sparta. We're already up to 375. So,
right, and if we don't talk Russia off the cliff here, and that all happens, that will automatically make that jump about another dollar, dollar and a quarter, dollar and a half. So,
you know, talking about
it is
talking about Russia. That's one thing too. You know, I mean, of course, you and I both in during the Cold War era, and that which kind of disappeared with President Reagan as he was able to work that out. But it appears that Vladimir Putin is almost trying to rebuild the old Soviet Union.
That's exactly. He has actually made several statements about that, that that is what he wants to do, is build, return the land of the Soviet Union. He has always had that in mind. You know, we're closely watching this situation in Ukraine. You know, the U.S. Embassy has already been told the citizens to leave. That happened last week. We did move the embassy. If you know the layout of Ukraine, right now, the embassy was in Kyiv, which was close to the border of Russia, but we moved it to Lviv, which is more towards the European side of Ukraine and you know, so. But we're getting really mixed messages out of Russia. You know, we're getting some intelligence to say they're going to attack on a certain day, then not. Then they're pulling back, but they aren't pulling back. But you know what? After Afghanistan, you know, President Biden signaled to Putin and to our allies that we were vulnerable. And that's a sad situation, because we had such a strong position before. So whether it's China or whether it's Russia, we're sending the wrong message. But we cannot allow Russia to move boundaries based on pressure. And when I say we, I'm not talking about just the United States. I'm talking about the UN and why these coalitions were built after the Second World War, was to try to stop specifically things like this. But it can't be America only involved in this to try to tell Russia to back down and go back. Because remember, Russia also, they built all these troops up and everything like that. The reason why I believe that it is a scare tactic, if they would decide to invade Ukraine, they can't have their economy won't allow for a long-term military advance. They just don't have the revenue streams to get it done. Their economy is about the eighth or tenth worst of the larger nations in the world. They're showing all their strength, but they don't have anything in reserve. And so that, by no means do I want to see us in a ground war with them, nor would I support that unless something really, really, really radical happens. But we've got to be able to use what is with us, and we've given away a lot of that power under this administration.
True. Very true. So, all right, we got a quick break here. Let me go ahead and throw that in and get that out of the way, and we'll come back and talk some more with Congressman Mike Voss here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. Talking with Congressman Mike Voster today on The People Speak, and we were talking about the inflation earlier, and supply chain disruptions in that, and of course the big issue going on up in Canada right now too with truckers. So I mean, there's a lot of things that are happening.
It is chaos. But of course, that trucker situation. Look, when you watch that, I mean, how easy would it be for Trudeau to simply say, I mean, what we're seeing on the COVID masks and stuff like that is it's just about over. Wouldn't it have been just as easy for him to just agree instead of being a jerk and just say, fine, there, you know, we agree with your mandate. We agree that, okay, maybe we'll stop the mandate now. Those guys would have all broke up, went on home, everything like that. They felt like they got a win. And Purdue would have looked like that he handled it well. The way it is right now, that law that Canada has, first off, that would never pass constitutional muster in the United States. But them trying to use that is, but this just leads to, Jeff, what we're seeing all over. You know, this last week, on a state level, both Republicans and Democrats on JCAR, and JCAR is, and from my time as state representative, I really understand JCAR committee well, because that's Joint Committee on Rules. And what it is it's a nonpartisan committee that has an equal amount of Democrats and Republicans, equal amount of Senate and House members, and their job is not to write law. Their job is to only make sure that when the law is administrated through the executive branch, that it is done exactly the way that the law was written. And what they did was they ruled in unanimously to block the governor's updated mask mandates for schools. Well, the reason why is that rule that we put in place that allowed for them a governor to do an emergency mandate of certain things is only supposed to last less than 30 days, allowing the state legislature to come in and vote on whether to move forward on keeping certain mandates in place by law or not. Well, Jeff, that's been going on now for 2 years, not 30 days, 2 years, and the legislature's never acted. Now, all of a sudden, the court case was beginning to play out on it. All of a sudden, the Democrats in Springfield realized for the past 2 years that the lockdown and everything like that, keeping kids out of the classroom without legislative action, only through the administrative rule, was unconstitutional, illegal. They knew they were going to lose, and now all of a sudden they're changing their tune and trying to take credit for what the Republicans have been saying all along about how and when this needed to be handled. But this is just an overplay of the left and the right, whether it's in Canada now with the left wanting to not even hear their constituents and make a reaction and straighten the problem out, and now all of a sudden you've got the left going and coming back and trying to say, oh, no, see, we wanted this. No. They've been the ones putting us in this place for the last 2 years, not sitting down and coming to reasonable acceptance of how we should handle all of this this situation with COVID. Here we are coming to the end of it. You still got Fauci trying to be on the news saying, oh, no, you're moving too quick. It's time to free things up. I read a study the other day. There's only been three pandemics that we've recorded in history that we've actually tracked everything. And all three of them have done just about the same thing. Even with all of our modern technology to get vaccines out, to do all this, all three of them take about 4 years or 3 years and four cycles to go through, and then they become weak, and they're still around. They're still around. It doesn't go away. It's just that the strains morph to the point that they're very, very weak. That's the way viruses do, and that's the way this pandemic has been, and it's played out like that. So we're coming to the end. That doesn't mean people should be unsafe. If you feel more comfortable wearing a mask, wear a mask. But wearing a mask protects you. It doesn't necessarily protect anybody else. Taking the vaccine, it protects you from not getting so bad that you are in danger of death.
Mm-hmm.
So be wise. And let's get through this. We're coming to the end of it. And let's deal with other issues that are out there and free our lives back up and let our kids go back to living their lives and let our families do what they got to do. And remember that we are a nation of law, but we are a nation that also has a constitution that gives us certain rights. And those rights have been infringed upon over the last 2 years pretty heavy.
Exactly. And I agree with you 100% on that. Wanted to talk just briefly a little bit as far as Illinois goes. I know the governor just gave his budget address here not too long ago, and touting yeah. How the budget is balanced, and he's going to maybe relax that automatic increase in the gas tax and all that and stuff. All that is a result of federal funds, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. You're so right. Yeah, the thing is, he's had so much federal dollars pumped in. Now, the danger is all of a sudden he convinces his Democrat legislature that they're doing great, and all of a sudden they start giving lists of projects that they're going to expand government. And when they expand government, guess what? You spin out of financial control again. We still have a lot of debt that needs to be handled and handled correctly, but the only reason they look better on the books is because the federal government has pumped so much money into it. And also, you know what? The sad reality is that by also increasing by the federal government pumping so much in, increasing and creating inflation and all of that, you devalue the dollar, which ends up being that your debt, though the dollar amount is the same, the buying power of the dollar isn't, and therefore your debt doesn't weigh as heavy on you. But still, we're way over our heads when it comes to the federal deficit.
Definitely. We got another break here. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. We'll come back and talk with Congressman Mike Bostigan here in just a few minutes. We'll be back on The People Speak right after this. 9:49, talking with Congressman Mike Bost. And Congressman, we talked about a couple different things there. Another issue that's longstanding and still going on is the problems down at the border.
You bet. You know, just recent reports showed footage of illegal immigrants being secretly transported to different communities across the nation. It gets even worse, though, because now our TSA has been allowing these illegal immigrants to use arrest warrants. Now, let me repeat this for your listeners so you know this. They're using arrest warrants and notice of deportation as identification to board the flights. Okay, so you're showing that they're criminals and they're illegal, and you're putting them on the flight. That's what you're using for. And then in the middle of the night, you're flying them out to different places all over the United States. You know, I co-sponsored a bill that makes the Airline Passenger Identification Act, which puts a stop to any of that. I'm hoping that we'll get that called. I'm not sure we will. But let's look up at the other spinoff problems that are occurring. So I have spent this last week, I've spent a lot of time with a lot of police officers across the district and around even into the new district, talking to them there. Now, since coming across that border is huge amounts of the synthetic product like fentanyl. So to put it in perspective, fentanyl or synthetic products like fentanyl are involved with over 70% of the overdoses and deaths that occur from overdose in the state of Illinois. Once again, 70% are coming. Now, understand that a majority of this fentanyl is made in China, shipped over through different avenues, but coming across our southern border. Now, just so you know, today, as of today, fentanyl, which is classified as a Schedule 1 substance, which means you can charge them, it's a hard drug, it's a bad drug, it kills people. But whenever it was put in, they weren't sure what it was, and the expiration classification expires at the end of this week. And so we've got to get back next week and get something done to make sure that we put it in permanently as a Schedule 1 drug. You know, I co-sponsored two bills that are going to try to make that happen. One is the Fight the Fentanyl Act, and then the other one is Halt Fentanyl Act. Both of these actually make fentanyl a Schedule 1 drug permanently, not with some kind of drop-off date. And I'm going to tell you, the legislators have put that in place before. They just didn't understand how wicked this particular drug was, so they gave a date so we could figure that out. And I also sent a letter to President Biden urging him to make sure that they take immediate action to make sure those dangerous drugs are not pouring across the United States at the southern border. I don't believe I'll get much reaction from that, but I think that I've got to try every avenue possible to get this straightened out, because, you know, last year there was enough fentanyl. I want you to put this in perspective. There was enough fentanyl confiscated trying to come across the border that would have killed every American citizen seven times over. It is a crisis beyond measure. And fentanyl, you know, you wish that it was, well, it is something, the opioid crisis is something that affects every race, every gender, every social, economical status level. And what's so bad is it's so wicked, and it can get into so many things. You know, we've even got police officers that, you know, they got to be very, very careful. If they touch it, they can put themselves into it can kill them. That's how wicked this stuff is. One one-hundredth of a gram is a full dose of fentanyl. And people just don't understand. Police officers understand how wicked it is, because they had to change their whole rule of dealing with people who are having substance abuse and everything like that, because it's beginning to get into everything and onto everything, and it is deadly.
Yeah, that I wasn't real familiar with it. I mean, I'd heard about it, but I mean, it, you know, things like that really have no place in society. I mean,
yeah, and you know, talking to these police officers, they're doing everything they can. They really are, and we just got to make sure we give them the tools to do everything they can. But if you really want to cure the opioid issue, let's secure our border. Let's truly stop the flow. Matter of fact, an officer told me day before yesterday, he told me that the only time they've seen a slowdown, okay, a slowdown in this fentanyl and where the people who are the users couldn't get it was at the beginning of COVID, when they actually were able to shut down the border based on COVID and where they could really, really lock things down. People weren't being allowed to move from one country to the next, everything like that. He said that's when we actually got it slowed down. So it shows we control our border. We reduce this problem tremendously, mm-hmm. along with a lot of other problems as well.
Exactly. Exactly. Still got a little bit of time left, but I want to talk a bill you introduced to help toxic exposed veterans.
You bet. You bet. It's called the Healthcare Burn Pit Veterans Act. I introduced that as Healthcare for Burn Pit Veterans Act. And you know what? My bill will better connect veterans who are exposed to burn pits during their service with the health care that they need at the VA. It'll also advance research into the health effects of toxic exposures and improve training for VA staff to deal with that as well. You know, Strong Veterans Act is also, I recently introduced a Strong Veterans Act, better allows veterans with mental health needs. And because right now we have 20 veterans, we talked about that before, 20 veterans a day committing suicide. You know, that bill passed out of the VA committee, and now it's headed to the floor. It'll open up eligibility for more students and veterans at the vet centers and increase health, mental health staffing and training for the VA. Then it's going to strengthen the Veterans Crisis Line. It's also going to allow veterans to benefit from engaging with peer specialists, dealing with their mental health issues. And it uses data to guide expansion of inpatient mental health care and substance abuse treatment. So both of those acts are out there. We're trying to move them on to try to help our veterans.
Right. And that's something, I mean, they put a lot on the line for America, and I mean, just giving something back to help them with issues.
Yep. So,
let's go ahead and wrap it up with a little bit, a lot in the news here lately about this Durham report.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, you know, President Trump was right all along. The Clinton campaign and associates, they were, when he accused them of spying on him, now this Durham report is actually showing, last week, you know, the special counsel John Durham filed a motion to cease related to, in the case related to the former Clinton campaign manager, Michael Sussman. The motion contains reports that the Clinton campaign paid a tech company to compile private computer information at Trump Tower, but then later, even at the White House, after Trump became the president. The goal was to find information on President Trump and tie him to Russia, regardless of whether it were true or not. This is what's coming out, and there's probably more indictments coming down. And if these allegations are turned out to be true, you and I talked about this off air, this is huge. Someone needs to be held accountable. The American people deserve an anchor, deserve an answer for this. And I'm going to tell you that if this would have happened during wartime, this would have been definitely identified as treason. This is treason, and they should be tried with that level of what they were doing, because we have to have the security. Whether you're a Republican, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a Biden supporter, whether you're a Trump supporter, whether you are just an American citizen, you should be bothered by this, because not only could it be done to Trump, that means it could be done to every other president. And the security of that office, to be able to keep national security just that, secure, was infringed upon based on a political motivated group. And that needs to be stopped. And people need to be prosecuted to the hilt.
I agree 100%. Congressman, we're out of time, but I appreciate you taking time to talk with us today.
Well, Jeff, thank you, and look forward to next month's talk, and everybody stay safe, and looking forward to it.
All right. You have a good day.
All right.
Congressman Noack Bost here on The People Speak. That'll wrap things up. We'll talk to you tomorrow.